And I know we had Cal Hawaii 6 days ago, SEC game tonight. Oregon State begins year two under Gary Anderson at Minnesota. We got Utah in action. And, of course, the Ducks host UC Davis Saturday. Our guest will be alongside Ted Robinson calling the game on the Pac-12 Network. Check out his website to find out what he's got going on, YogiRoth.com. The handle on Twitter, at Yogi Roth. Yogi, a happy football season to you, sir. How's it going?
Oh, it's awesome, man. Just got into Portland. I'm fired up to drive down to Eugene and get it going, man. I'll be listening to all these games on the radio, and it's really cool, especially week one. All across the country in every conference, the games are really, really unique, and there's something to learn, I think, honestly, that actually matters in every one of these games that are going on.
Now, obviously, we'll get to Oregon. I want to start with USC. You obviously have a personal connect there. A lot is subjective, but first you could probably say they have the toughest schedule in America. But for Max Brown, I know you're big and involved with the Elite 11 camp. He was there, class of 2013. He'll only debut against Alabama. What's the book on this guy?
Really talented. You know, what I found is that for whatever reason, it seems like the national narrative is that, oh, they gave him the job because he's the older guy, but Sam Darnold's going to be a star. I couldn't disagree with that more than anything. You know, I think Max is going to be a star. I think Sam is going to be a star. I think Max is just ready right now. He's a guy who's two-time high school Gatorade Player of the Year in the country. He's a guy that has only won everywhere he's been. But most importantly, he's the toughest guy on their team. Literally was named not only Lifter of the Year, but when you talk to people within the program, he's the guy that defines what, in my opinion, this team has lacked, which is the grit and resiliency that's necessary to win close games, to play well late, to be tough enough to not worry about where you're going to project out of the next level. And to me, he defines that, and I think his attitude is one that the team has started to truly embody. It's going to be tough. But I think they match up well. I think if they score two touchdowns in the first quarter and a half, they got as good a chance as anybody to win this ball game. I mean, I think we put Alabama on a pedestal, which they've earned. But I think early in the season, it's too hard to do that. I don't think it's fair to the student athletes to do that because nobody's played. And it's the first game for a lot of players on both of these teams.
Now, obviously, USC's big-time high profile. You think of kind of the glory era under Pete Carroll. Then with Lane Kiffin and Steve Sarkisian, just weird. They ended up fired mid-season. And now you got Clay Helton, who's been a career assistant. Some of the folks I've spoken with say he's a great fit for right now with the sanctions behind them, kind of a nuts-and-bolts guy. What did you think of that hire?
I thought it was interesting at the time. You know, I was close to the process when they were kind of going through it. And I think that when you look at this job, you know, they didn't want to hire somebody who was in the NFL. They want to wait and miss out on recruiting for obvious reasons, right?
Right.
And they went after, you look at the big names in college football that everybody wants, Saban, Meyer, none of those guys want to go anywhere. So now you kind of go, all right, where do we go next? And it's suitably proven, unproven, kind of proven, but maybe not a great fit. And then you look at Clay and you say, he's cleaned up two terrible situations with the ones you just mentioned. He's a really good football mind, and he's straight, as you referenced, nuts and bolts. Why are we looking anywhere else? And I think, honestly, that is how the process really, and I know that's how the process went for USC. So I think that he's a great fit for the team. I think the USC brand, which I think I got a good handle on, is one where you just got to get out of the way, but have a clear plan. And he does that. You know, he's about the X's and O's. He's about developing young men. Not that Lane and Sark weren't about that, but to me, he's just straight up. There's nothing else. You know, you go to this, there's no music. You know, you talk to him about anything outside of football, he's not really going to go there with you. You know, he loves the concept of living, breathing, and dying around the game because he's been around it his whole life as a lifelong coach's son and then obviously a coach himself. So I think he's a really good fit. I don't think that he's necessarily going to get back to 12-win seasons immediately, kind of like it was in the era that I was there, but Pac-12 has changed. You know, I don't even know if Pete would do it right now. I mean, the coaches are better, the facilities are better, it's much more competitive. And honestly, finally, man, the sanctions, but no one talks about where it hurt SC the most, wasn't the limited scholarships on their team. It was about giving up guys to other teams. And all of a sudden, a kid that you would get that might be your third or fourth best receiver becomes Gabe Marks, you know, the starting receiver at Washington State. That's
wow.
Just an example. You know, there's a lot of guys like that. And, you know, Gabe might have been the number one guy at SC, but that's how we operated when I was there. It was, let's take this guy so we don't have to play him. And everybody else started to get those guys when they were limited scholarship-wise. And I don't think that's talked about enough, because that is a major reason why they lost that competitive edge in practice, most importantly.
Great insight, as usual, from our Pac-12 football analyst Yogi Roth. He'll be here Saturday. A lot of new faces for the Ducks, coordinators, quarterbacks, both lines. So they start with a lower-level FCS school. Then while they play a Power 5 program, you know, Virginia's been struggling. Then they visit Nebraska. Is there any logic to maybe this escalating schedule aiding first-time players to kind of gradually get their feet wet?
Yeah, I think it's great. If I was a head coach, I'd want to do it 100%. You know, I think it's great for this program. I can't wait to watch them. You know, we were at practice a couple weeks ago, and offense, I don't think they miss a beat. I'm really excited to watch Dakota Prukop play. You know, if they do what they should do, I can't wait to see Justin Herbert play if he gets in the game. You know, that one I think shocked everybody around the college football landscape, just because you know you're going to burn a red shirt when you play him. So I'm interested to hear when we talk to the staff tomorrow about the philosophy around that and what they really do, if they try to hold them off all year long, and if they have to play some of the older guys at the backup for mop-up duty, they do that. But defensively, yeah, you're right on, man. I mean, this is a different scheme. And I get that it makes a lot of sense that it should be easier, but it's a different mentality. It's different types of fits. It's a different tempo defensively. So I'm excited to see them go against a team like UC Davis. While they're not a powerhouse in their division, they run stuff that's going to force you to play discipline, meaning they're not just going to spread you out and try to run 100 plays. It's going to be Stanford-esque, you could say, from a scheme standpoint. And they're going to shift and motion and move around a lot and try to confuse you. So the alignments of the defense of Oregon is what I'm most excited to watch. And if they just fit and do their job, and if they do, it's a wrap. But if they give up explosives in this game and don't make the proper reads and the proper fits, then to me that's definitely a cause for concern.
Now, you mentioned Prukop, who's going to be the starter. Second year in a row, they brought in a fifth-year grad transfer. And you said that, you know, you got to see him firsthand from the coaches you talked to, the players, what you've observed. What do you think is logical, expectation-wise, as he steps up to this level?
Oh, he's going to thrive, man. I mean, he is. I mean, the system is built that they need a great point guard. I think he's going to do it. You know, I went back and watched him play, you know, against Portland State a couple weeks or last night, just to kind of get a gauge for it. You know,
right.
This is one of his bigger games, and this is a guy that has put teams on his back since he was in high school and he won the job as a junior. He did the same thing at Montana State. The biggest challenge for him, we'll talk about in our game on Saturday, is transitioning from being, you know, the Michael Jordan of your team to being, you know, the B.J. Armstrong, you know, for using the Chicago Bulls.
Nice.
You know, you just got to be the point guard and just distribute. And I can't wait to watch that happen. And I've talked to him about that when we were there for our training camp show on the Pac-12 Network. And he clearly acknowledges that that needs to be a shift. And I think he's going to thrive, man. I think Oregon has the most depth at the skill position players that have any team in the conference on offense. I think they have three tight ends, and most defensive coordinators you talk to say the hardest offense to stop is one where they've got multiple tight ends, just because it's hard to match up. You don't know what personnel to send you in a game. You don't know what to call because they can move them around. So obviously excited to watch Farrell Brown and his return. And then, of course, you look at just what they do to teams. You know, they piggyback plays. And by that, all Ducks fans know about it. It's they get one explosive play. It's usually one or two plays later, they're in the end zone. So for me, it's how quickly can he think, how quickly can he react, how quickly can he read. I think he's going to absolutely thrive. I expect him to have a massive year.
I started doing this show in 1999. I think that's the first B.J. Armstrong reference we've had. Definitely a lot of Jordan references. We continue with Pac-12 football analyst Yogi Roth. Four games on the networks Saturday alone. One of them is Washington and Rutgers. The Dogs had the one quality win last year, 7 wins overall, 4-5 in league. They are getting a lot of summer love. How important do you see this now, year 3, for Coach Peterson? And you think all this optimism is legit?
I think the optimism is legit. I think the hype and the expectation is not legit. And I think he would agree. He has when he's been on our shows too. Of, you know, they got to prove it, especially in the offensive skill position standpoint. You know, one of their top receivers isn't going to be with the team for a couple games. John Ross hasn't played in a while, and I get he's a special athlete. Is he D'Anthony Thomas special? We're going to find out, you know, what type of explosiveness does he bring to this team? Because I do think in this conference, regardless of how good your defense is, and they've got the best one in the Pac-12, you've got to score points. You know, last year in conference games, the teams who won averaged 38 points a game. I think you got to at least score 4 touchdowns. You got to get some chunk yardage. Obviously, returning a quarterback helps that. Having a running back back helps that. Having your left tackle and some O-lineman helps that. But I don't think they're elite just yet on offense to be considered a playoff team. I think in this conference specifically, you got to score. And I'm not saying they're not going to, but from what we've seen, they haven't done that. So I'm really excited and really looking forward to see what they can do against Rutgers, a team that they should beat. And then, of course, as they get into the next couple weeks, they should be 3-0, and then we'll see what happens when they get in the conference play. And I'm jacked for him. I think Chris Peterson is a big time worthy of all the hype. I love his process. He's one of the few guys, if I had to rank them, who I would want to play for in this conference, he's right up at the top. If I was a student athlete again, and if I was a coach, he'd be a guy that I want to learn from. You know, he's so committed to his approach that he'll get it there. I just think it's a year early with all the hype of them being a potential Final Four team.
I want to hit on Stanford. I mean, you think of what Jim Harbaugh took over 9 years ago. They had 7 straight losing seasons. I did the math. The last 7 seasons, they've won 74 games. David Shaw taking the baton. When you incorporate that university academics playing in this league, can you oversell the remarkable job that David Shaw has done as the head coach now year 6?
I would love it, but I think it's undersold all the time. You know, I don't think he's given enough credit. I think right. So often we look at Stanford and we think really tough, pro style, they're just going to run the ball and they're really smart. And those things are all realities, but they're also a team that after week 2 last year averaged over 40 points a game. They've got explosive players. They also have NFL caliber players. My eyes, they've got the number 1 or 2 defensive linemen in the country. And their interior D lineman, Solomon Thomas, I think he's going to be the defensive player of the year in the Pac-12. He's an absolute dominator when you watch him play. He's going up against their O-line. I think they develop players better than anybody in the conference right now, and as well as Alabama, when you look at guys coming in as freshmen, redshirting, sitting, getting some chunk plays here and there, and then all of a sudden starting, and then going to the NFL. I think they're underrated at wideout. I don't think people are given, and it's unfortunate, Bryce Love, it sounds like he's not going to play on Friday night, but he is a dynamic playmaker. And I think Christian McCaffrey's stuff, outside of when he touches the ball, isn't talked about enough. You know, I call it dude qualities, where his presence just raises everybody else's game. And I think that's why I have them winning the Pac-12. So I think he takes some of the heat early on in the season off of Ryan Burns. I think Burns, he's still going to have to make a couple of those third down throws, specifically when they get in the conference play, because they kind of get right after it. But this is a team that I think will be favored in every game other than probably Notre Dame when they got on the road. And I expect them to win the conference and be the team in the college football playoff.
Nice. All right, final thought, UCLA, Josh Rosen in particular. I know you're a quarterback guy. There were people saying he would have been the best quarterback in the draft this most recent year over Goff, Wentz, or Paxton. But is that hyperbole after seeing this guy as a true freshman, knowing he lost his top weapon, a stud back, what do you think of his game and what he might accomplish this year?
He's awesome. I mean, we've talked about it a bunch, man. He's the most gifted passer in the country, and I don't think it's close. I think he's one of the top 2 quarterbacks, him and Deshaun Watson, different skill sets. And this year, out of all the offenses, I look at Clemson and I look at UCLA, and to me they're must-watches because I think they'd be the most fun to play in. Clemson for obvious reasons, but UCLA, they're not just going to go pro-style 2 tight ends and a fullback. They'll spread you out. They'll do the pro-style stuff. They'll go up-tempo. I just think they've got an amazing toolbox right now, or amazing tools in this toolbox offensively, and I think I'll allow him to thrive. The one question mark is similar to UW of who's going to be the guy now when you're not going a million miles an hour and you're not getting easy receptions on seam routes, slants, spacing, those simple things sometimes that happen in the spread system. Who's going to be able to line up at the split end to the boundary in man-to-man coverage and win at the line of scrimmage? We haven't seen someone prove that. Theo Howard, to me, will be the freshman year in this conference as a wide receiver. He'll have a chance to be that guy. He reminds me of Marquise Lee, but I don't know if he can do it week 1. Ishmael Adams in the slot. Again, I don't know how dynamic smaller receivers can be if you ask him to be the number one wideout. You know, I think he's a great complement, but is he going to be the top guy? I don't know. So that's what I'm going to be looking forward to, is where have those guys developed? Where do you have a legit number one wideout that's going to scare people? And that's what we're going to find out, I think, when we get into the first couple weeks of the season. But they're real, man. I think that they, to me, they'd be the favorite now to win the Pac-12 South. I think the South will be muddled. But I do think that UCLA will be the team that comes out of it, and I think it's a rematch with them and Stanford from, I think they play each other week four.
Nice. Here's Yogi Roth. Catches work as a college football analyst for the Pac-12 Network. We always look forward to chatting him up on this program. He'll call Ducks Aggie Saturday. Yogi, we wish you safe travels, and as always, very much appreciate your time and insight. Thanks a lot.
Oh, anytime, man. Enjoy the game, and we'll definitely talk soon.
All right, you got it.